We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Back again, My Music, with, as usual, John Amis and Frank Muir, competing in musical knowledge against Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. This time, just for once, I thought we might start off with some gently tuneful music, as opposed to boldly tuneful. So, John Amis, what is this? Title and composer, please.
The only work that I know is supposed to have been written under the influence of hypnotism.
It's
Rachmaninoff, Piano Concerto No. 2, yes, in C for Charlie Minor.
And which movement?
Oh, I should think the slow one.
One in the middle, yes, that's right. Second Rachmaninoff Piano Concerto. Catch in there with the LSO and Schulte conducting. And you have a mark. Frank, this was a pop hit not so long ago. It sounds a bit similar to me. Who's the singer? It is familiar, isn't it? Singer, for
John me? Suggested it was me. No, it's not as good as
actionable. It's not as good as that, actually.
Thank you, yes.
Can I give you a hint, perhaps? Help you towards the name. Two names. You could give me his first name little by little.
Shorty.
Well,
thank you, Roger.
Let me try the other one. His sister may have worked in a tobacco factory.
Ah. Yeah. Yes, that's... It's Tennyson's Maud.
Maud? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you remember her family name was Woodbine.
No.
Scent sort of wafted.
Well,
abroad.
Little by little...
It's Shorty Woodbine.
Well, I feel disposed to give you the mark for sheer effrontery. The name is actually Eric, little by little, Eric Carmen. The name of the chap.
No, I guessed that, but I didn't like to interrupt your flow of wit, Frank.
I was keeping the ball rolling.
The scored.
Ian.
Plunging.
Ian, as you know, that Rachmaninoff slow movement begins with a sequence of snaky piano notes, like this. Something rather odd happened there. What tune did it become?
See how he says, as you know, the slow movement begins with a succession of snaky chords. I think it was only last week he said, you will recognise this instantly. Which I did. In fact, well, I didn't know what it was. I recognised it. I was keeping the ball rolling.
Word is reaching you came from across. Your mate.
Starts there.
that's
another message.
Yes, don't read my doodle. Bring back brown bread. And
till there was you.
Well, yes, you have to get the mark, don't you? From Dennis?
The music man, yes.
And it's your turn, Dennis. Back to unadulterated Rachmaninoff and a song by him. What would you call this? For Ian to write something down, I think.
Here's my pen here. No, I'm I don't know. You mean what would I call it?
What would you call that?
Intolerable. You know that kind
that's
of thing, doesn't
you
it?
Are.
To sort of register with. You mean what was the name of the song?
Well, yes, it was very implicit in the accompaniment, if not in the song, in the singing.
Well, I would say it wasn't a lullaby.
That's right.
No.
That gets you a mark. It was The Storm by Rachmaninoff to words by Pushkin. And you get the mark, and so does everybody in that first round. And on to compositions and their titles. John, The Seasons became an oratorio, a ballet, a set of piano compositions, and even a set of violin concertos. Can you name the composers involved? The Seasons. Oratorio by...
Haydn.
Yes. Piano pieces...
Tchaikovsky.
Yes, later orchestrated. The ballet by...
Glazunov.
Yes, and the violin concertos...
Vivaldi.
Well done. Two marks. Frank, what can you tell me about Sins of My Old Age?
You suffer from racial prejudice. Prejudice against this side of the house singing.
Oh, really?
During questions. Hello. Hang on.
Oh,
it's Rossini,
yes.
Piano piece, song. What's that?
Piano pieces and song.
And, of course. Oh, I see. Why? Rossini piano pieces plus song.
Why Sins of My Old Age, then? Why old age?
Well, because he wasn't a young man.
Right.
He was a pretty elderly Rossini.
Yes.
Pondering.
He'd eaten too much Tornadome by then. Yes, a set of late pieces by Rossini. He called them, humorously, Sins of My Old Age. Not too humorously, but fairly humorously.
No, Tornadome was a comic opera, wasn't it?
By Puccini, yeah. Ian, which of the operas by Berlioz is based on Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing?
Oh, goodness.
Or would you rather have a hint?
Well, I think...
Would you rather be a fish?
Well, there's the Trojans. I don't think that was... Well, that might... I mean, you might have said that was Much Ado About Nothing, really, those chaps inside that horse.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah.
Shall I give you a hint?
Oh, I'm not talking about the opera. I'm talking about the story.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, the opera. I'm a great admirer of the opera.
All right.
And saw it done by Scottish opera.
Ah, well.
What's more, splendid it was.
I'm the only one who can put down opera.
Then there was Benvenuto Cellini. I don't think that was about much.
I'll give you a hint. B&B.
Beatrice and Benedict.
Yes, you got it straight off, didn't you? Straight away. Two marks, ultimately.
It's nice to dilly-dally on the way.
Yes. Dennis, what can you tell me about The Perfect Fool?
Oh, I suppose this is another... The only example I came across recently was an American of a perfect fool. There's an American medical research chap who's working on a cure for nymphomania. It's an opera by, and then the operative is either Mollet.
Your writing
is that? Holst.
Ah, yeah.
Holst, yeah.
Gustav Mollet.
Yeah.
Or Mollet, as he was known in France, yes. Opera by Gustav Holst, yes. Orside gets the mark. Talking of opera, I had a letter from a listener in Blackburn in Lancashire, Joe Winstanley, his name, who saw two opera posters which had been put up rather carelessly. The sections didn't coincide, and the poster read, Madame Butt de Flederfly. Charming, isn't it? One of our regular listeners, Anne Riley of London, Southwest One, quite often has to drive to London Airport. She's noticed that on her car radio, there always seems to be some really enjoyable piece of music the moment she drives into that tunnel, which leads you into the airport, with the result, of course, that she loses reception for a few moments. But, of course, there are the ventilators, and reception comes back from time to time, so you get a sort of... like that, you know. She's become expert at guessing what intermittent music really is, at identifying it, and wonders how you'd get on in similar circumstances. So, we'll find out. We're going to reproduce the effect for you of driving through the airport tunnel with ventilators offering sound from time to time. Listen very carefully. John, entering the London airport tunnel, you hear this on your car radio.
Ha ha ha.
What is it?
It's a bit high for me.
But not for him.
But he is singing Sanguine, so that's why it sounds so bloody. Yeah.
Yes. Do you know what it's called? He sang the time.
Otello.
It comes from Otello, yes. Verdi's Otello, yes. Verdi's Otello. Did you recognise the voice by any chance?
Not you.
I'll give you a hint. His first name was Bussy.
What?
Bussy was his first name.
Ah, Bussy. Bussy. Well, then he's Bussy.
Bussy.
Bussy. Yes. Lucy.
Anyway, you got it. It's an aria from Verdi's Otello. You get the mark. Frank, here's your tunnel piece.
Thank you.
And Lodi Tower.
You may just get it, I think.
Is it with a
yes.
Tucked yes. Underneath the arm?
Yes.
What the bloody tower?
That's right, it was Stanley Holloway's record, actually. You got it, you got it. Ian, an airport tunnel teaser for you. Yes, you've got it. Complete with head notes. Yes. Who's singing what, please?
Yep. It's Girls Were Made to Love and Kiss.
Yes.
Undoubtedly sung by that wonderful artist, yep. Richard Tauber.
Tauber, yes, your mark. Dennis, in your case, there are only two tunnel ventilators that restore reception on your car radio, isn't it?
Outrageous! Courageous!
It's about Dancing Bear.
Yes, whose record?
That was Alan Price.
Alan Price, and the correct title, who?
Was Simon His Amazing
Simon
Dancing
Smith
Bear.
And
Simon
amazing,
Smith and His Amazing Dancing
yes,
Bear. See, I find that with tunnels, actually, on those records, you now go through that London Airport tunnel fast. I've never been through it that quickly. But anybody who's got a car radio, it's always the most interesting things that you miss when you go under tunnel. I have this fantasy of driving along one day, and his voice suddenly said, "We've just received news that the sun is approaching the earth at the rate of 12 million miles an hour, and is estimated the whole human race will die out in..." Yes. And now we have a piece of music for it.
we had that same sort of thing actually a few years ago at home when a police van came round at 4 a.m. and said, "Attention, everybody, a wild has escaped from the zoo at Great Foster's."
And we were like,
"What, elephant? Crocodile?" It was a tiny little monkey about 3 feet.
That's like the old joke of a man who rushed up to the keeper at the zoo and said, "There's a moose loose." And the keeper, who was a very phlegmatic man, said, "Are you Scots or English?"
I think we'll move on to some musical questions concerning who or what. John, who composed a Turandot overture based on a Chinese tune that he found in a musical dictionary?
Ferruccio Busoni.
No.
Ah, then Carl Maria von Weber.
Yes, because he found it in Rousseau's dictionary.
Ah.
Second shot. Should we give him a mark or half a mark?
Mark,
all right. Charitable to the last, that's my audience. Right. Frank, who were reunited in Utopia to a limited degree?
Sir Thomas More and his wife.
Well, you
remember Henry VIII tried to lure her away, saying, "Don't have any more Mrs. More," and she went back to him, even though in his time of...
Sir Thomas More did invent Utopia, didn't he?
It was also... Gilbert and Sullivan offer.
I said reunited in Utopia to a limited.
Oh, that's right. They had a punch up over the carpet in the Savoy Theatre, and Gilbert and Dolly Card.
Mm. Anyway, the answer was Gilbert and Sullivan were reunited in 1893. Ian, this man probably wrote more music in sheer quantity than any other noted composer in history. Handel said of him that he could write an 8-part motet with the ease that someone else might write a letter. He was born before Bach and Handel. He outlived them both. Who was he?
Before Bach? No, I think this must be the man centuries before his time, because it's now what we all are. He was Telemann.
Telemann, who it was, that's right. Yes.
Hey, he Mr. Telemann, write me the man. Daylight he come and I've written for.
Yes, in fact, an example of Telemann's music might be nice at this point. Very nice. Dennis, Ralph Vaughan Williams composed a number of film scores, among them a score for a film that America called The Invaders. What did we call it?
The Invaders.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was the American title.
I was a teenage Martian. Virgins from Venus. What's coming? Oh, of course, yes. Well done, Ian, yes. Ian came up with the 49th parallel, in which he's got five L's.
At least two R's at one time.
49th parallel was indeed the name of the film as we knew it. It included a splendid theme, I think. Listen to this, just a bar or two. And Vaughan Williams did actually turn that into a choral piece called The New Commonwealth. As far as I'm aware, it was never recorded. I haven't been able to trace a record of it at all.
That was the film where all boys of my generation fell in love with Glynis Johns.
Yes, that's right. Yes,
Laurence Olivier, didn't he play? Yes. Didn't he have a marvellous French-Canadian accent?
Yes, that's right. Well, yes. Yes. It was really Eric Portman's film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. The answer in this next round lies in the words of some popular or traditional song. If you say the answer, 2 marks. If you sing the answer by mistake, you get only 1 mark. John, who found a use for topless herring boxes, and what use were they to her?
Oh, my darling.
Topless?
Herring boxes.
Oh, my darling, you can do this.
Oh, madame.
Yes.
Lady.
He sang, folks. Yeah. The man sang.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I sometimes get a bit Welsh and I start, oh, my darling, I don't really mean to sing.
Well, 1 mark. Clementine it was. What did she use her herring boxes for? Herring boxes without topsies. Thank you, Frank. Sandals were for Clementine. Yes. Well, only 1 out of 2 there. Frank, how capacious is the home I plan to build in Loveland?
It's enough to house 2 or 3 or 4.
Or more.
Or more.
That's right. You get the marks. Ian, how long is the racetrack at Camptown and which horse are you backing there?
The racetrack at Camptown is 5 miles long.
Doodah.
And what are you betting your money on?
Well, somebody bet on the... I put my money on the bob-tailed nag, and somebody bet on the bay.
Sound like George Saunders. That's right, yes, you get the marks. Dennis, what will you find your inn following the Easter Day parade?
Well, depending whether you sing the English version or the American
That's
version.
That's right, I have them both down here.
Oh, well, you'll either be seen in a smart magazine, or you'll find that you're in the photogravure.
Rotogravure. Yeah, that's right. And we go on to the next round. Back to John again. John, I'm going to play on the piano a few bars of a familiar song. While I'm playing it, just a bar or two, can you recall who wrote the original poem? Another music, of course, by Grieg.
The song is a Grieg, yes, The First Kiss. So it is not a Norwegian writer, is it?
No.
No, then it's not Olli Boll or anybody
but
like that.
That's not
a Norwegian accent either, is it?
I was hoping after all those hearings it might sound vaguely Norwegian.
I can give you a good hint which will help Frank, if not you. This particular person was at one time a somewhat unwelcome guest in the home of Charles Dickens. Didn't help you much, did it? I shall have to tell you, the words of the original song of Ich liebe dich were by Hans Andersen. Hans Andersen.
What do you know?
And he was not Norwegian, was he? No.
Right. Frank, Danny Kaye made a film about Hans Andersen.
There's continuity.
And so on. Who wrote the music for that film, Lester? Frank, I mean.
Sorry about that. Not a greater man. Frank Lesser.
Frank Lesser. How did you arrive at that?
I would have come to it eventually.
You would. All right, then. All right. Give you the mark. Yes.
With hints.
Ian, talking of fairy tale characters, this is a little bit of, I think, interesting information. The first English composer ever to be knighted wrote an opera called Aladdin. It was intended, and it was written, in fact, as a counter-attraction to Weber's Oberon. But it was a failure. In fact, the audience ruined the performance because during his hunting chorus, they whistled very loudly the hunting chorus from the rival opera by Weber. This same man also composed Lo, Hear the Gentle Lark. Who was he? The first musical knight.
Ah, yes, that's very helpful. Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
That was a sign.
You were saying about them whistling the Oberon. Yeah. There's a lovely story told years ago at Covent Garden of the Italian waiter in Soho who managed to get a ticket quite unexpectedly for Covent Garden, and he got in there and found that he copped something like Meistersinger. And he listened to this for a bit and waited until finally a rather soft bit came in the music, and he stood up in his seat and he said, "I wanted the Rigoletto!" Which was more understandable than these people doing this. No, the gentleman in question, with a marvellous hint from John, is Sir Henry Bishop.
Yes, the way he was crossing himself, I thought you were going to say Pope. Yes, it was Bishop, Sir Henry Bishop, that's right. Dennis, there's a fairy tale character in this song title.
Yes, stay in my arms, Cinderella.
That's a nice, quick, easy mark for you. Yes, you got that. It's time to hear our four contestants actually singing instead of talking. John, start us off with the handsome Earl of Murray.
Ye lands and ye lowlands, oh, where have ye been? They have slain the Earl of Murray and laid him on the green. He was a braw gallant, and he rode at the ring o' the bonny Earl of Murray. He might have been a king. Oh, long will his lady look frae the castle doon, ere the bonny Earl of Murray come sounding through the tune.
A real Norwegian folk song.
You'll get some letters, Frank. From you, Frank, please, the song of the grasshopper as he sang by the railroad track. Did you manage that?
A grasshopper sat on a railroad track singing Polly Wolly Doodle all the day. His name was John, but they called him Jack, singing Polly Wolly Doodle all the day. Fare well,
fare well,
fare well,
fare well,
fare well, my fairy friends. For off to Louisiana just to see my Susie Anna singing Polly Wolly Doodle all the day.
So it got kind of tragic towards the end, didn't it?
I can't sing slow, but I can sing even less fast.
Dennis, the rare flower of Washington Square. Would you like an accompaniment?
Oh, go on.
Talk about one of your old familiar tunes from way back when. Row, they call her Row of Washington Square. A flower so fair. Is that how it goes? Should blossom where the sun shines, rose. For nature did not mean that you should blush unseen.
but be a queen of some fair garden rose.
It's getting a bit tragic, this one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've packed up, have you?
I know.
Finished all that.
Ian, be a hero in your wooing, always kissing, always cooing. Mozartian advice. Can you play?
Yes, I know what that is. I sing slightly different words, but you won't mind that.
You may think you've found a woman who'll be faithful all your life. You may smother her with kisses, nuptial joys and wedded blisses. Sure that she's the perfect wife. Sure that she's the perfect wife. Perfect wife.
End of programme, I'm afraid. A victory this week would be, wouldn't it, for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreiber.